I'd just like to lift up a couple of items. Jenna, who's been visiting with us and is a prospective member of our congregation, has recently been in the hospital and she's at home recovering. So I'm sending her love and light and prayers. And also wanted to acknowledge that in Palmdale, near my home, the junior high, Desert Willow, had an issue with a teacher on Zoom making racist comments, and it's a big thing now. So I'd like to hold in our heart anti-racism and how we can continue that, as well as the Asian community that's been suffering recently. So let's send love and light to all. And of course, there's more in the chat. We hold all that has been shared today here in this space. We know that some things emerge slowly, fresh and fragile. We send our love and care to all that remains unspoken. Grief touches grief, joy meets joy. May each of these unions be a gift to this community. Amen. Namaste. This morning, it is my pleasure to introduce Glenda Nowakowski, one of our poets who will be reading an original poem for us.
Good morning. Last week was the equinox, and when the days and nights are equally long, and this poem is titled Equinox. Only twice a year, light meet as equals. For one day, free of the struggle of continuous waxing and waning, an ephemeral look into each other's eyes without the fear of being overpowered or underwhelmed in a false sense of security. Tomorrow the tide will turn. The first shall become the last, and the lesser shall become greater. But tonight the sun and the moon reach out in an uneasy truce, and the stars softly rejoice. Thank you.
Thank you, Glenda. That was beautiful. Now I'm pleased to introduce the speaker for today's service, our own UU of SCV member, Jane Gates.
I'm going to take you by the hand, or maybe a little more like the eyes and the ears, and take you down a trip to something that happened to me a few years back. Now, don't expect anything glamorous and dramatic, because this is the kind of event that really was very ordinary. But what remains with me really strong is the fact that my higher self clicked in, and I just was amazed at the result of what happened when I got my preconceptions out of my own way. Anyway, I'm walking out of a grocery store with my hands laden with great big bags full of groceries. And right in front of me, into the parking lot, as I walked, I saw a big fellow in front of me. I was marveling at his incredibly huge white beard when all of a sudden he tripped on the curbing and fell. And I looked around. Lots of people saw him. Nobody moved. I looked around. I thought, ooh, he's kind of big and scary. But he didn't move. And that worried me. And then I looked at him again. I went, you know, he reminds me of those big, dangerous Hell's Angel guys who used to work kind of guarding the outdoor festivals in London many years ago. And I was doing some work there, and I remember one reaching out, terrifying me, picking me up as though I were a rag doll, and just taking me over the gate and putting me into the back of the stage where there were all kinds of famous musicians. And I didn't notice a one of them because I was so intimidated by that big guy. And here's another one lying on the ground way, way later. And he's a lot older. But still. Well, I thought I'm going to go right past him. There are plenty of people here who can help. And hey, I'm not a doctor. And as I was thinking that, I noticed my feet picking up speed. And I'm thinking, what am I doing? I can't do this.
I'm not anybody who's an expert on any of this. What am I going to do when I see him? So I was pretty confident I was going to have to pass this one by and let someone handle it. Except my feet had no interest in what I was thinking and just continued picking up pace and actually running right toward this poor person. Oh dear. Okay, I've evidently made some kind of commitment somewhere. My higher self has decided that I'm going to be able to handle this. And I look down on him. He's very pale, but he's conscious. So, how are you doing? You're okay. No, don't try to move. You don't need to move yet. Take it easy. Let's find out how you're doing. Your knee? Yeah, it's looking a little bit swollen there. Anything else? Okay, you're getting a little more color. I know, this is really, really tough. It's so embarrassing when you do things like this. At least that's how I feel. I can't tell you how many times I've fallen in front of people, especially when you really don't want to look silly. It's okay. He looked at me, I got a little bit of a smile. You know, we're all just human. Bigger smile. Yeah, we really are, I thought. So you do your best, Jane. And I sat with him for a moment while he got his energy back a little bit. He was doing fine. And all of a sudden, someone came pushing in. A young man doing a good deed for the day. Practically threw me onto the sidewalk, reached down to my poor friend on the ground, dragged him up by his hand and said, "Hey, let me give you a hand, buddy." And off he went trucking on down the parking lot. And I stood there watching my friend, my newfound friend, about to go back down on the ground, only this time without even being able to catch himself.
Fellow was not going to stand there much longer as he rocked back and forth, so I grabbed him and he just fell on top of me and I held him. And pretty amazed that somebody that much bigger than me could actually be supported by somebody that much littler like me. But it seemed to work for a while. In fact, it seemed like an eternal 5 minutes, I suspect, before finally he started gathering some energy, straightening up, and saying, "I'm doing better. I'm okay. Can you move your knee?" "Yeah." "Can you put some weight on it?" "Yeah, good." So we walked over toward his car. He let go. He went over to his car, reached for the handle on the door. I said, "Are you sure you can drive?" He said, "Yeah, I'm fine. I really am." I said, "Make sure you take it slow. You might be in shock." And all of a sudden, he just stopped. And he lunged at me. And suddenly, I was embraced in the biggest bear hug I have ever had in my life. I was a little worried about getting, well, suffocated by that enormous beard. And I was trying not to laugh. But he just hugged. And then I looked up into his face, and I saw tears rolling down his cheeks. Oh my. First time in my life I felt like this giant fellow's mom, and he was some really, really vulnerable little 4-year-old. It felt so perfect. So I helped him into his car, and when he was ready, he went on his way. Now this is a pretty ordinary story. But for the rest of the day, I was walking on air. I felt so good that I'd been there at just the right time. I felt so honored that I was able to help him. And I was so glad that my higher self had stopped me from passing judgment on what this person looked like and what my own experiences had been, so I could be there for the little 4-year-old in the big old man's body.
As I've wandered through life, I've asked myself again and again, who am I? Why am I here? How do I make a difference in a world where I'm invisible in the spectrum of time? Do I have any power at all? Is power being rich, famous, better than someone else? And what would these cost me? And what would they matter in the end anyway? My life's been an amazing journey with lots of rich stories to tell. I never would have thought that it would be the little stories that would bring the most happiness. But, well, making life, any life, better, even for a moment, could give me a soul high greater than so many others. Well, more dramatic tales. In another incident that happened just last month, I found I had to replace a whole new, perfectly good heating air conditioning system. I found myself frustrated and angry, and I didn't like the feeling. So I asked myself, what could I do to feel better? Thousands of dollars I could not easily afford, wasted again, only to be added to the more precious earthly materials, only to add more precious earthly materials to the human heap of waste. And then I knew what I could do. I asked the contractor if there was someone who could give the units to maybe Habitat for Humanity. 2 weeks passed before he called me again, all excited. There were too many qualifiers for Habitat for Humanity, but he put the search out to 7 of his builder friends, and one came back that he knew someone whose home had been totaled in the Bobcat wildfire last year. The man was trying to piece his family's home back together again with a GoFundMe account, and he was thrilled. So before long, the 7 builders and my contractor were celebrating. Literally celebrating. They actually got together and partied. I received a photo of the burnt out home and promises that I would get more photos of a whole adoption and installation, kind of like rehoming a favorite pet. Then last week, one of the builders found another home for another appliance from another job. Wow, the soul high becomes downright contagious. So when I feel small in this large, crazy world, and I want to commit to being the best in me, but I just don't have the financial extra to spend, and having an impact on anything feels so overwhelming. Well, I remember that someone once told me, you make a difference living by example each day with all the little ordinary things. Like getting out of my own way, my prejudices, my fears, my deciding people I might be able to help may not look as I expect. And so what? When I started putting together this, my first sermon, I asked Reverend Megan for some advice. She was super helpful, but I was stuck on one point. For a larger impact, she suggested using an example from history for another source. But since I wanted to talk about the extraordinary part of the ordinary, well, the ordinary just doesn't tend to make it to history or attract headlines. There are plenty of examples in the Bible, not ordinary. How about Mother Teresa's work with ordinary people? Still not ordinary. I know. Colin Kaepernick's NFL. That's not ordinary. But then I came upon a recent comment by Ellen Burstyn, who once captured the eyes and ears of the public she entertained. Discussing her depression during the COVID lockdown in a recent interview, she said she escaped to a local park every now and then. One day I had a sinking feeling, she said, of real loneliness, and a Frisbee landed next to me. I handed it to a little girl who said, thank you. And wow, my spirit just lifted. I made a connection with another human being. Kindness is really an important element of human interaction, you know, she said in wonder. Now that's pretty ordinary and doable in one way or another for all of us. As for me, well, feeling relevant is a work in progress. How will I make a difference look? I never know. And as I grow older and face more disconcerting changes and losses, I'm finding a critical reward of energy, a critical renewed energy as I commit to this unpredictable project. Will this put me in God's graces and good book? Will I become a historical force? No, I don't think so. Probably not. But I am already discovering a more powerful and rich life in the here and now of this earthly reality. So long as I can allow my higher heart and soul to guide me, ordinary things that happen might just keep turning out to be extraordinary. And that feels like a pretty extraordinary reward for a perfectly ordinary commitment. For those of us who are fascinated by science, the University College of London published the results of their survey on good deeds and found rewards for everyone, such as good deeds help others feel good, give everyone a sense of belonging and a sense of purpose, keep things in perspective. Good deeds become contagious. I found that one out. Help us live longer, provide a sense of renewal, boost our self-esteem, increase bonding and friendships, make life feel more positive. I guess what I felt in the two events I shared with you here was only perfectly normal. And a part of being perfectly normal seems to be an antidote for the anxiety, stress, fear, depression, even some of the defensiveness and violence we are seeing so much of today. So what gives you that soul high? Some of us are good at donating money, time, skills, or material things. Some of us donate our work, love, care, and support. Some of us don't have a plan, but may find we only need to listen to the guiding voice of what we know is right, that loving, non-judgmental place in our hearts, and allow it to guide us moment by moment to make the ordinary extraordinary. As the first Unitarian Universalist principle says, quote, to elevate the inherent worth and dignity of each person, unquote. And that includes ourselves, however that may look.